Hello and welcome to the Choreo Crime Podcast. I'm your host, Kate, and I am pleased to announce that I will soon have a website where you will be able to listen to the episodes, see which platforms the episodes are on, read summary of the cases and the sources that I use, and even submit your podcast or other case suggestions that you wish me to do. I will announce the website address when it is finished. Also, please feel free to contact me at choreocrimepodcast@gmail.com. That's choreocrimepodcast@gmail.com. Now, I'm so sorry for the wait on this episode. The new school year in South Korea just began. The school year here begins in March, specifically March 2nd. So things were a little hectic preparing for the new school year, but I hope to keep this on a monthly basis. In this episode, we will be discussing the crimes of Jong Nam-gyu, a serial killer who killed from 2004 to 2006, killing around 14 people. In this episode, we also have a connection from the last episode in which we discussed the crimes of the raincoat killer, Yoo Young-chul, who murdered wealthy elderly and sex workers in Korea. So let's talk a little bit about the background of Jong Nam-gyu. Jong Nam-gyu was born in Jiangsu County in Jeollabuk-do, a province in the southwestern part of Korea, on March 1st, 1969. It is said that as a boy, Jong was very timid and he was seen as a weak child due to his shyness, and he was often beaten by his father. At around the ages of 11 or 12, Jong was taken to a secluded place by a male neighbor and was sexually assaulted. In his teen years, he was ostracized and later revealed he was assaulted by other neighbors while he was living alone. But it is thought that the after effects of the sexual assault helped create a darkness inside of Jong, which finally erupted to the surface when he became a man himself. On January 14th, 2004, in Bucheon-si, Gyeonggi-do, Jong kidnapped two young boys, Yoon Ki-hyun, who was 13, and Im Young-gyu, who was 12. These two boys were brutally raped and then strangled to death. On January 30th, 2004, Jong broke into a woman's house, Wong Kyung-ja, who was 44, and stabbed her. Luckily, she survived. When she was later interviewed by police and asked for a description of the assailant, she told police that she couldn't make out any specific features, but that he was wearing a mask and a hat. On February 4th, 2004, a young woman, Jeon Hyo-sil, who was 24, was walking home late at night in Imundong in Dongdaemun-gu, Seoul. She was tapped on the shoulder and she turned around, and then she was brutally stabbed to death. If you remember from the last episode, Yoo Young-chul claimed to have killed this woman, but in court, he later recounted his confession. This murder was actually committed by Jong Nam-gyu. At the time, investigators on the Yoo murder case thought it was very strange that his MO, or method by which he killed, had changed. But to have more than one serial killer active in the same area is very rare, so investigators were puzzled. Now, this was not the only crime that police had mistakenly thought Yoo committed. The Seoul Southwestern murders were, in fact, the crimes of Jong Nam-gyu. Later in custody, Jong told investigators he was offended that Yoo took credit for the Imundong murder and that he had been watching the news about Yoo's arrest and admitted he wanted to kill more people than he did. 4 days later, a young woman who was delivering milk early in the morning, Sun Young-ran, 28, was tapped on the shoulder, turned around, and was stabbed to death. On February 13th, February 25th, and February 26th, 2004, another three women, So Eun-jung, who was 30, Hong Sun-young, 29, Park Bok-soon, 17, were stabbed by Jong, but fortunately, they survived. In April to May of 2004, four more women were stabbed, but only one survived. Jong Yong-soo, 25, Kim Young-hee, 20, Choi Joo-myung, 22, who survived, and Kim Hyun-jin, who's 24. On August 4th, Jong Nam-gyu broke into a house and attacked a 50-year-old man, An Song-chul, with a blunt weapon. He also luckily survived the attack. Many of the surviving victims, when asked, couldn't remember any description of their attacker. The police used hypnosis to have a sketch of the suspect made. There were a total of 2 sketches made of Jung Nam-gu that looked very similar. On April 6, 2005, Jung broke into a house where Kang Ye-yoon, who is 71, and Han Lee-na, who's 13, were staying, and he attacked them with a blunt object. He then set the house on fire, but Jung had failed again. Both victims survived. On April 18, 2005, Jung broke into another house where a 46-year-old man, Hwang Hae-soo, and his daughter Min-chul, who was 12, was and bludgeoned them with a blunt weapon. Again, both victims survived. In May, Jung unfortunately succeeded in murdering a 41-year-old woman named Kim Young-soon. She was stabbed to death and she died. On January 14, 2006, Jung broke into a house and sexually assaulted a 7-year-old girl, but was scared off by her father. Jung's pattern of breaking into houses and stabbing women walking alone at night continued. Sometimes he would set the houses on fire. Later, investigators asked why he liked to burn the houses, and Jung admitted he felt some sense of accomplishment when he did this. Mr. Gwon, a criminal profiler in Korea, who was also discussed in the case of Yoo Young-chul, believed all these crimes were being committed by the same person, and the crimes were just escalating, becoming more and more violent as time went on. After being stopped by the 7-year-old's father, Jung continued more attacks and murders. On January 18, 2006, Jung broke into a house and murdered 3 sisters, Song Jin-hee, who was 17, Min Young, 21, and Sok-gu, who was 12. He hit them with a blunt object and then strangled them to death. On March 27, 2006, Jung broke into a home where another 3 young sisters lived, killing all but one of them. Both Kim Jin-young, 25, and Young Sok, 21, didn't survive the attack. Only the youngest, In-hee, who was 13, survived. Jung Nam-gu's last attacks were on April 22, 2006. Jung broke into a house and was attacking a 24-year-old boy when his father saw Jung on top of his son, and then he tackled Jung. Police were called and Jung Nam-gu was arrested. In the police car, after being arrested, police heard Jung talking to himself. He was telling himself he wished he didn't get caught because he could have killed 1,000 people. Earlier, we discussed that Yoo Young-chul was suspected of Jung's murders and falsely confessed to one. Earlier, we discussed that Yoo Young-chul was suspected of Jung's murders and falsely confessed to one. Investigators were stunned that there were 2 serial killers operating in around Seoul at the same time. Yoo broke into homes of elderly in wealthy neighborhoods in Seoul and lured sex workers to his home, where he killed and dismembered them in his bathroom after having intercourse with them. Jung began by kidnapping and sexually assaulting 2 young boys, progressing to waiting for women who were walking alone at night, often going home, tapping them on the shoulder under the street lamps, and then ruthlessly stabbing them. Finally, escalating to breaking into homes, bludgeoning victims with a blunt object, and setting the houses on fire. These 2 ways in which the victims were killed are similar, but also very different. Yoo's murder was based on jealousy of the rich and hatred of women due to his failed relationships. So, what was Jung Nam-gu's motive? Jung Nam-gu is often referred to as the pleasure murderer after he revealed to investigators that he was addicted to killing. When searching the crime scenes for evidence, police never found any money missing from the houses or bodies. So money was never the motive for Jung. After Jung revealed his past of being sexually assaulted as a child, investigators and criminal profilers believe Jung became angry and expressed it through the murders. A professor of pediatric psychiatry at the University of Hanyang and was also the vice president of the Association for the Prevention of Child Abuse told the Weekly Kan newspaper in 2009 Jung exhibited perverted behavior such as voyeurism. Of course, this is translated from Korean to English. He also said that it is highly likely that the trauma of childhood sexual assault can cause problems such as gender distortion and social maladjustment. He said that at first, Jung showed symptoms of anxiety, such as sleep disturbance, nervousness, and fear of the perpetrator. Also, excessive clinging behavior and sexual confusing, and often behavioral changes that result to sexual indulgence and also depression. Jung also revealed to investigators he had been running 6 miles a day and always tried to eat healthy food to stay in shape for committing the murders. When searching Jung's apartment, police found a pipe wrench that had old blood on it and newspaper articles of his killings. He also admitted he often listened to the news on the radio after police had found the bodies of his victims. This, he said, helped him fall asleep. He liked to see the victims' reactions. This was why he tapped the women on their shoulders, waited until they turned around, and then stabbed them. Investigators also noticed that his eyes lit up every time he recounted the murders in his interviews with police. It is estimated that Jung had around 20 failed attempts. When asked how he felt and what he did after the failed attempts, Jung told police he went back to the places where he did succeed and relived the killings in his mind. On April 12, 2007, Jung Nam-gyu was sentenced to death by the Supreme Court and was sent to serve his sentence at Seoul Detention Center. On the morning of November 21st, 2009, an employee at the prison found Jung, who had attempted suicide. He was found with a noose made from twisted plastic bags and a string that was located on his TV. He was rushed to the hospital, but was later pronounced dead. That is all for this episode. Again, I'm so sorry it took so long to get this episode out. If you have any comments or case suggestions, please email me at koryocrimepodcast@gmail.com. That's K-O-R-Y-O crimepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you will join me next time on Koryo Crime Podcast.